Let me tell you one of my highlights. There were many of you because you're in my life, so there are so many highlights every week. But last Monday was a great highlight. It's one of my favourite two times of the year. Do you know what happened on Monday, don't you? What happened on Monday? If you live around this area, you should know what happened on Monday. It's a council clean-up. How good is it to get all that garbage out that you've been storing up thinking, doesn't fit in the bin? You go to your neighbour's bin, doesn't fit in there either. You know, you do that, right? And it just all goes out in the curb. And before the garbage trucks come to pick it up, you know, everyone else takes it for you. It's fantastic. Apparently, some people find more value in your garbage than you do. It's a great time of the year, but then every week you've still got that annoyance of having to take your own bins out and bring them in, and every week they fill up, and the red bin and the yellow bin and the green bin, and every time I put it out I think, surely this is not one week's garbage. Isn't that you just can't believe how much garbage you keep putting out. And every week, wouldn't it be nice just have one clean up, you put all the garbage out and that's it, no more. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, that's what we're going to do today. Spiritually speaking, God calls us as his people to be holy. In other words, to be free from the rubbish in our lives, to be free from sin, to be free from anything that stops us having a perfect relationship with him. God calls us to be holy people, people set aside for him. In the Old Testament, that is in the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament, I'm going to use the word Old Testament and Old Covenant, they mean the same thing. Under the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, God appointed priests to be the garbage men for Israel. They were the people he appointed to deal with the garbage of sin in the people's lives so they could be holy, so they could be God's holy people. So the priests were appointed to make sacrifices for the sins of the people. They would make sacrifices of animals during the year, of unblemished animals, during the year for the sins of the people as they happened. And then once a year they had their council clean-up. Once a year on the Day of Atonement they would make two very special sacrifices. One was the sacrifice of a bull for the sins of the priest himself and his family. And then the sacrifice of a goat. That is for the sins of the people. And that was the Day of Atonement, when people were made, brought to be at one with God, that is to be atoned for, at one with God. So on that day, let me take you back. It's a scary place to go, don't be afraid, but we're going to Leviticus. Okay, the book we all skip over when we're doing our Bible in a Year program, if you've done that. Don't skip over it. It's got great, valuable stuff. It is imperative. It is really, really important we understand that Leviticus points forward to Jesus. Without books like Leviticus, we will not be able to make full sense of Jesus. So have a look at these verses. Leviticus 16, verse 11. Aaron is the high priest, the first high priest. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. And he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. And then there was the sacrifice for the people. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people, and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover in front of it. In this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. So there are the two sacrifices for the Day of Atonement. So it's really important to understand what this is speaking about. The sacrifices were made outside the tent of meeting or outside the temple area. So the bull and the goat, they were slaughtered outside, and then some of the blood was taken inside into the most holy place where the high priest would go in the very presence of God. That was the place at the end of the last chapter we looked at. It talked about Jesus entering the most holy place for us. This is the high priest's place. And that blood from those animals would be sprinkled over the atonement cover. Now, what's the atonement cover? The atonement cover was a cover over the Ark of the Covenant. And what was inside the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments. And some other little objects, but mainly the Ten Commandments. So you had the Ten Commandments, which is the rules that God, the code for living that God had given the Israelites, which they were breaking, was here in the Ark of the Covenant, covered by an atonement cover, and the blood sacrificed would be brought and sprinkled over that atonement cover and drip over the box that held the Ten Commandments that they were breaking. So do you see the symbolism? The symbol of that blood is to make a sacrifice that is costly, and the blood would pour over the very, very commandments of God that were being broken. It was a very symbolic act for that God's laws were broken and then blood was poured over them from a sacrifice. That's what Leviticus is all about. When we get to Hebrews chapter 10, though, which we're coming up to soon, I'll give you a sneak peek. When we get to Hebrews chapter 10, it says this: those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. You see the problem? The whole sacrificial system in Leviticus, actually, Hebrews says those sacrifices could never take away the sin. They could never actually atone for sin. They could never pay for the sins of the people. They were a reminder of sin and seriousness of sin. So with all this effort they went to for the sacrificial system, the blood of bulls and goats never actually dealt with sin. But it pointed forward to another sacrifice that God would send. It pointed forward to a day when there would be a sacrifice that would pay for sin. So, in the whole of the Old Covenant, those sacrifices were all a reminder of sin. But when we get to Jesus, we have the New Covenant. And He is the sacrifice for sin. His blood, remember where He was crucified, outside the temple, and the curtain being torn in two to open up to the Holy of Holies, Jesus' blood was poured out upon the sins of the world. That very act of Jesus makes Him superior. But Hebrews actually talks about Jesus' priesthood in many more ways. We're going to look at three of the ways that Hebrews talks about Jesus as being superior to the Old Covenant. Superior means the Old Covenant was weak. God started it. God made it happen. It was very important, but it was weak. And it was looking forward to one that would fulfill everything that God desired. And so Jesus is the fulfillment. He fulfills it, and He's superior in three ways. Let's have a look at them together. The first thing is that Jesus' priesthood as a priest is permanent. Jesus is a priest forever. The priests God appointed under the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, they eventually died. There were about 83 priests during the time of Israel, from Aaron, right up to the time of the temple with Jesus. There were about 83 priests, but they all died. They were only ever temporary positions. So their position as a priest was temporary. Jesus, however, yes, He died, but He also rose from the dead and lives forever. So He is not only a priest, but He's a priest forever. And that's why we have these words: but because Jesus lives forever, He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, He's able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them, to speak to God for us. That's interceding. It means Jesus is always alive to do that. He's not going anywhere. He doesn't stop doing that. It's not like He's going to pass on and someone else is going to take over. He is the one who is now permanently interceding for us, speaking to God the Father for us. It reminds me of those little hooks you get to stick up on the wall. You know, when you don't want to hang a nail through the wall, you get those little stick-on hooks. And if you buy the cheap ones, what happens? They just fall off in a few minutes. But if you buy the good ones, which I did once, because, you know, I don't fork out money that easily, but once I thought, I'm getting the good ones this time, they stick forever. Pretty much forever. They stick on there, and you can hang things on them, and they don't fall off. Well, Jesus is like that permanent hook. It's not going anywhere. It's not like the old priesthood that just, they come up and they fall away, and they come up and they fall, and they were human. They died. Jesus is permanent. The second thing about Jesus, you know, that is a significant difference, you know, to our faith, to any other faith in the world. We don't worship a prophet who died. We worship God himself, who came to earth as a human, who died and rose again and is alive right now. We worship a living king, a living and permanent priest, who is permanently speaking to God for us. That's what we need. You know, it's not enough to be in the presence of God. We need to stay there. Jesus is there so we can remain in the presence of God always. The second thing about Jesus' priesthood being superior is that it's a sacrificial priesthood. Look at verse 25. Such a high priest meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens, unlike any other priest. He does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Now we're remembering today, Remembrance Day is about remembering the sacrifice of many people who have fought in wars to give us peace and freedom and to uphold what we have as a nation, which is wonderful. Wouldn't it be nice if there was one war to end all wars? Wouldn't it be nice if there was no more war? If there was one war, that was it, all sorted out. But it's not like that, is it? There's a need for a sacrifice today in Afghanistan. There's a need for a sacrifice in other countries. Again and again and again, war starts. Wouldn't it be nice if there was one? And there is for our sin. And the sacrifice that Jesus has made is complete on every level. Firstly, because he is God himself, he can make the perfect sacrifice. Secondly, because he is God who became a man, he can sacrifice himself on our behalf because he is us. He deals with the garbage once and for all. He makes the sacrifice once, completely and perfectly. Because he was perfect, his sacrifice was perfect. Which means he didn't need to sacrifice like the old priesthood. He didn't need to make a sacrifice for his sins and then the sins of the people. He just makes the sacrifice for the people. And it's perfect, therefore it's permanent and good for all time. You imagine if I stood before God and Jared's there beside me and I say to God, look, I will pay for his sins. What do you think God would say to me? I will pay for them, you know, just let him into heaven and I'll take the fall. Which I wouldn't do, that's just silly. What would God say to me? He'd say, Bruce, you can't pay for his sins. You've got to pay for your own sins. In fact, all of us have to pay for our own sins. But then Jesus stands beside us and he says, I will pay for their sins. And God says, well, okay. Because you're perfect, you don't have to pay for your own sins. In fact, you are perfect. You can pay for everyone's sins. And that's what Jesus does for us. He stands before God and says, I will pay for their sins. Once and for all and completely. One garbage pickup forever. Done. All dealt with. Under the old covenant, the sacrificial system was a reminder of sin, a reminder that it was serious, but it wasn't dealt with. But Jesus' sacrifice is superior because it actually takes away sin, all sin, right now. The third thing about Jesus' priesthood that is superior is that it's heavenly. Chapter 8, verse 1. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Under the old covenant, the priests served in a man-made sanctuary, a man-made temple. God gave them the dimensions. You've got the tent of meeting that was, God said, this is how you're to build it. The temple of Solomon, this is how you're to build it. But it's man-made, and it was a reflection of what was of the reality in heaven. The temples that they worshipped in on earth were a shadow, Hebrews says, a shadow of the reality. Jesus, as our high priest, serves in the heavenly sanctuary, in the real temple of God, in heaven, and he serves there now. He doesn't serve at a man-made temple or altar. In fact, we don't even have an altar in our church anymore. Did you know that? since at least the 16th century, if not since the 1st century. We have a little table here for communion. It's not an altar. We never call it an altar because an altar is for sacrifice. What sacrifice is left to be made? When we have communion together, there's no sacrifice. It's a meal of remembrance. So there's no altar here. But where Jesus is now, he is in the heavenly sanctuary. He is the sacrifice. He's in the heavenly sanctuary now. And do you notice the words used there? Jesus serves in the sanctuary. Do you notice those words? Jesus serves. That is present tense. I don't know much about language, but that's what I do know. That's present tense. That is right now. He is serving you in the sanctuary of God. Right now, he is ministering to you from the sanctuary of God. Right now. That is his activity as our risen Lord and Saviour. And again, this is the distinction of our faith as opposed to every other religion under the sun. That we have a living God who lives forever serving us and interceding for us. He is the permanent priest. He is the one that made the perfect once for all sacrifice for our sins. There's no need for repeating those. And he serves us in the real heavenly temple of God right now, today and every day. So that's why verse 6 says, the ministry Jesus has received is superior. The ministry, what does that mean for us today? You know, that's an unusual word to use for Jesus as a minister. He ministers for us. What does it matter for us today? Well, what it means is simply this. Jesus has taken out the garbage once for all time. Do you know the worst thing about garbage night? I think it happens every week. When you get up the next morning, the truck goes, you know, I've put the bin out, that's all good, and then you go into the bathroom and I forgot a bin. You always forget one bin in the house, don't you? There's always one thing, you know, you're saying, oh, I never forget a bin. I know you do. We all do, occasionally. Jesus clears the house of the garbage. It's gone. Once and for all. Your house is clear of garbage forever. That's the work he's doing right now. And this is what we need. This is what no one else can offer. He's the only one who could do it. So when you struggle, when you face sin, when you deal with difficult situations, right now, today, Jesus is there right now, today, ministering to you, serving you, with the most superior ministry. He's there right now, serving you. He's not on a lunch break, he's not gone off somewhere, he's not passed the reins over to someone else. He is it. He is your priest forever. You speak to God directly right now in your prayers because Jesus is there right now bringing those prayers to him. You may not have reached the point of making a commitment to Jesus. This news is great. Wherever you stand with him, what it means is that you can come to God now, today, because Jesus is there now, today for you. It means you can have your sins taken away now, today, by the ministry of Jesus, right now, once and for all. It means that you don't have to wait a moment longer. Wherever you stand with him, whatever ministry you need, he is there right now. And right at this very second, you can bring yourself before God, have your sins forever taken away, and enter into the very presence of God. You live in the presence of God through Jesus. Right now, today. Now, today, you stand in his presence. Every word you speak, every moment you breathe, you are in his presence because of the ministry of Jesus. He makes us holy right now. Let me encourage you, as believers, to remember the ministry of Jesus right here and now. Every moment. If you're not a believer, if you haven't come to that point of faith yet, let me encourage you that it can be dealt with right now. That there is he's permanently there right now. Let me pray, and let's pray that God's Spirit may just work in us right now, that he would minister to us right now, wherever our need is. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, believers and doubters alike, we know that we all share a deep need.
And Father, you know that need better than any of us. There are believers here who may be facing struggles in life, and we need to be assured now again of your presence in our life, that you are ministering to us right now. Father, we pray that you'd give us that assurance, that recognition of your presence in our life. There may be others of us here today who have not made that step of putting faith in you, and Father, we pray that your Spirit may be helping hearts to understand you, that people may come to you right now, to have their sins taken away right now, once and for all. Heavenly Father, as we gather together today, we do remember the sacrifice of so many for nations throughout the world through the work of war to bring freedom and safety for people. And Father, we just are very thankful for their sacrifice. And today we just give you great thanks that there is a sacrifice that has been made once for all, that takes away all sin, removes all the garbage, and that we have a high priest who serves us now in the heavenlies. He's our priest forever. And in his name we pray. Amen.